Pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, even though I probably could have used it, I'm not on a bread and water diet today. They didn't arrest me at Target yesterday. Most of you are aware of that. And yeah, we're going to talk about that a little bit today. And I don't want to apologize, but just listen, I'm sorry about that little weepy episode I had yesterday. But man, that was the spirit of the Lord that came all over me. And hey, Kevin, beautiful. Love to have beautiful women in our program. Keep her out of the bathrooms at Target, if you will, though. Spiritually profitable day yesterday at Target. I want to talk about that. I got some videos that I want to show. I don't want to bore you guys with videos that you've already seen, but I think it's important that from a learning perspective that we talk a little bit about this. I want to bring into this the spiritual aspect of it again, as we always do. And, just pray that your heart's going to be encouraged. My Facebook page is, for those of you who don't like Facebook, it's just, it was amazing. You guys know how when you're on your Facebook page and a little message popped up? Mine was like popcorn yesterday. I don't think I'd ever seen anything like it. Like, share, like, boom, 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 boom. And I'm telling you, it went on all day. It went on all day. And the video from the day before that we did when I went in and spoke to the manager at Target, that video, it went viral. It's over 20,000. We don't even know how many people have seen it. Breitbart News picked it up. It was on their front page yesterday. So we are really, guys, right in the midst of what I believe a nationwide movement. And I was sharing with some of the friends and some of you even here this morning, I was sharing with them that as a guy who does a lot of street ministry, that kind of stuff, engaged in the cultural war, I look at the battle over abortion. And say what you want, it's probably 50-50. I mean, really, let me move that up there. It's maybe, I don't, you know, in their heart, people say they're pro-life and they're with you, but there's just as much opposition in the church, really. So it's whenever you go out and fight for life, it's not a win-win situation. You're not sure you're going to win. Same thing with the homosexual marriage thing. You start getting into the homosexual marriage, people will say they're for traditional marriage, but they're really uncomfortable with it, and it's hard to get a consensus and people who will stand up and speak against it. But yesterday when we were at Target, before the whole thing went, I'll talk about that, before it came to an end, I had about a half hour, 40 minutes to stand outside there with my sign, which said, caution, men may be in women's restrooms. That's all my sign said. I stood out, I was able to stand in the doorway right in front of the restroom for 30 minutes. And they asked us to leave, and we didn't leave. And then I got kind of tired of standing there, so I just walked about 10 feet and stepped outside in the sun because it was a nice day. And I stood out there for another 30 minutes. And every person that came in is reading my sign, and we're stopping them. We're telling them what's going on in the restrooms. And guys, listen, this is a 98-2 issue. There ain't nobody in America, 2%, that thinks men ought to be able to go into women's restroom. This is such a home run knock. If we cannot win this fight, I don't know what to tell you. And I had an interesting conversation with the chief of police of Heath, who told me off camera, and I'm not sharing any confidence. He didn't tell me in secret. He told me that they're already receiving the police department. He's already receiving pressure from the feds to make their restrooms gender neutral in the police station. So as I'm trying to warn people, the God haters are already at work. They're way ahead of us, folks. They're way ahead of us. And if we just sit back and we let this stuff continue to go on, 10 months from now, there will be No designations on any of the restrooms. None. That's just a fact. That's what's going to happen. So that's why this effort is so important to raise up a standard now to push back, not only against Target. There are a lot of them out there. Target was just stupid enough to go public with it. But there are a lot of places out there where this thing's going on. And what I found out yesterday from talking to the police, as crazy as this sounds, they don't know the law. They were very, very honest with me. They didn't know whether it was legal for a man to walk into a woman's restroom or not. They did not know. And that's why I didn't get arrested. The reason I didn't get arrested is because they were so, they bent over backwards. Coach, please, please. They don't want to throw you in jail. They don't want to arrest you. We don't want to have you arrested. Please, coach, can we work together on this? Because they don't know the law. That's where we are here in America. We would think it's just normal, right, that a man can't walk into a woman's restroom. We would think that would be the, come on. You know why it's not in the law? Because it's common sense. Everybody knows that a woman is safe when she goes into a restroom or a man's not going to walk into her. But we stumbled upon something, which I'm going to read to you later on. The Occupational Safety OSHA administration requires all public facilities to be male-female. It's already there in their own regulations. So we have to continue to push back against that dastardly thing. And before we get diving into all the videos, one of them's got over 30,000 hits. I mean, isn't it amazing? Really, think about it. That a guy can walk into a Target store with one of these things right here and set the world on fire. It's powerful, the times which we live. I want to give a shout out to Jeff Klein, who took the video yesterday, but I want to coach all of you. If you take a video, turn your camera this way. That way you can get the whole picture. Jeff did the portrait, so you got dark on, so you only get a little bit, you can't see the whole thing. And he had never used my camera, and I didn't realize it until afterwards that he'd held it like that. But that's okay, because we got it all on. So those out there who criticize me because of the angle of the camera, I get it. And it was my fault that I didn't alert him. So I want to start in the scripture today. Can I do that? Turn to let's start in 2 Chronicles. Let's start right there real quick, and then we're gonna weave this around in the back door. Come in a different way maybe on this thing. Because one of our favorite scriptures is in America is 2 Chronicles 7:14. And we all can probably quote it, and I'm not going to take the time to read it. But I want to show you again that much of what we read in the scriptures are conditional. Much of what the Lord does with us is conditional. In other words, if you do this, God will do this. It's like anything that you would do with your own child. If you mow the grass, I'll give you $10. I'm not going to give you $10 if you don't mow the grass. You do your part, I'll do my part. Much. That theme runs all throughout the scripture. Okay? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You got to call upon the name of the Lord. The result is you'll be saved. Conditional. Okay? You with me? So 2 Chronicles 7:14, we like to pass this off as if it's not conditional. I want to show you, in the interest of time, I don't want to rush through this. But let's go to 7:13. I want to show you something I think is really important. 7:13 says, Lord, we just thank you for this day, Lord Jesus. Use these words. Let this word penetrate their hearts in Jesus' name. If I shut up the heaven that there is no rain, let me stop, point something out. God is shutting up the heaven. God says, if I shut it up. Let's make sure we see that. If I shut up the heaven that there is no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, is that something? The Lord's going to send pestilence? It says in Thessalonians he'd send a strong delusion. It's judgment. If I do that, then the Lord says, okay, still when I do that, if my people, there's that condition, okay, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then they will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins. I'll heal their land. Now my eyes shall be open and my ears attend unto the prayer that is made in this place. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house, and my name may be there forever, and mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually. If we return to the Lord, okay, and then he says, verse 17, and as for you, if you will walk before me as David your father walked and do according to all that I've commanded you, and shall observe all of my statutes and all of my judgments, then, there it is, if you do this, then I'll do this. Then will I establish the throne of the kingdom according as I have covenanted with David, the father, saying, there shall not fall thee a man to be ruler, and fail thee to be a man ruler in Israel. Good. So the Lord said, you return to me. Here's all these great things that are going to happen for you. Y'all got that picture, fellas? And so the church loves 2 Chronicles 7:14-18. But they stop. Very dangerous thing to do. 7:19 is the if not. God always has an if and an if not. 19, but if not. So it says, I threw that in there. But if you turn away and forsake my statutes, my commandments, which I've set before you, and you go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I pluck them up by the roots out of my land, which I have given them, and this house which I have sanctified for my name, will I cast out of my sight, and will make it to be a proverb and a byword among all the nations. And this house, which is high, shall be an astonishment to everyone that passes by it, so that he shall say, why has the Lord done this unto this land and unto this house? Let me stop you right there. That's what people are saying in America today. What is going on in America? What has happened to America? It says they're going to look at it with astonishment. We go outside Target yesterday. I'm holding my sign, and people are saying, what? Men can go into women's rooms. What? What has happened here? We're astonished, see? But we better be astonished and understand this. This is from the Lord. This is from the Lord. I will. Verse 21, I'm going back there. And I'm going to use this term. And this nation, America, which is high, shall be astonishment to everyone that passes by it. So they shall say, wow, wasn't America the shining city set on a hill? Why has the Lord done this to America? Substituting words, okay? Now look. If not, and it shall be answered, because they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them forth out of the land of Egypt. And they laid hold on other gods and worshiped them and trusted the courts more than they trusted me, and threw out prayer out of the schools and eliminated and mentioned my name everywhere. And look, and served them. Therefore hath he brought all this evil upon them. Do you see that, guys? We like to do the if my people. Well, the Lord says, okay, but if you don't, boom, boom. So what we're seeing in America is the if not, the judgment of God. We haven't returned to him. If my people, which call upon my name, we haven't humble ourselves and pray and seek it. We haven't. We have a reprobate, God-hating Muslim in the White House. How can God honor that? How can he possibly honor that? We're prideful. We're arrogant. We haven't turned from our wicked ways. Deuteronomy 28. I want to give an amen, and then I want to move on. I think it's important that we see this. Another if not. And it's one that people love to do. And I'm sorry to do all the reading today, but I want to move through this. Chapter 28. Oh, people love Deuteronomy 28. They love those blessings. Y'all there? Here we go. Verse 28, chapter 1. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken, if, there you go, conditional, if you shall hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all of his commandments, which I've commanded you this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth. There's America. Put America in there. And here's what's going to happen if you do that. Verse 2. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee. Oh, we love that in our churches. Woo! The Lord's blessings are going to overtake us. Praise the Lord. And the blessings of the Lord are going to run us down. They're going to overtake us. Verse 2, and these blessings shall come on us and overtake us if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. If. Verse 3. So here's all the blesseds. You ready, guys? Oh, I can't tell you the number of times I heard this repeated in churches. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field, and blessed shalt be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, and the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep, and blessed shalt thou be thy basket and thy store. Verse 6, blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed when you go out, and the Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee the other. The Lord shall command thee blessings upon thee in thy storehouses and all that setteth thine hand to. And he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee as a holy people unto him, and as he sworn unto this day. And if you shall keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways, then all the people of the earth shall see America and say, call you by the name of the Lord, and shall be afraid of you. And the Lord shall make you plenteous in goods, and the fruit of your body, and the fruit of your cattle, and the fruit of the ground, and the land which the Lord sware and unto the fathers to give thee. And the Lord shall open up, blah, 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 blah. All these things come. Praise the Lord. We dance, play the music loud, and dance around, clap our hands. You, we're blessed, blessed. Oh, Lord, we're blessed, blessed, blessed. Till we get to the if not. What if we don't hearken unto him? And so we can say, you know, America was founded as a Christian nation. We can argue that all we want to, go back and forth. Doesn't matter. We know this, that America of 2016 is nothing like the America of 1791. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? So maybe they tried to build a Roman rock back then. But look at where we are today. And then let's go to verse 15, because here come to judge. But, where am I? I'm sorry. But it will come to pass if thou will not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe and to do all of his commandments and his statutes, which I command you this day. Here you go, boys, that all these curses shall come upon you, and it's going to overtake you. I thought we were going to be overtaken by blessings back here. Verse 2 says the blessings are going to overtake us. Well, here in verse 15, it says the curses are going to overtake us. What? Come on, Lord. 16. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field, and cursed shall be your basket, and cursed shall be the fruit of your body, and the fruit of your land, the increase of your kine, and the flocks of the sheep. Cursed shalt thou be when thou come in, and cursed when you go out. The Lord shall send upon thee cursings and vexation and rebuke, and all that thou settest thine hand unto do, until thou be destroyed, and until thou perish quickly because of the wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me. It goes on down. I'm not going to take time to read it all. It goes on for 2 pages. Wow. 43. Stay right there. Deuteronomy 28:43. Ready, boys? If and if not. The stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee very high, and thou shalt come down very low. And he shall lend to you, and you shall not lend to him. He shall be the head, and you shall be the tail. Because the scripture tells us that we should be the head, and they should be the tail. But the Lord said, it's conditional. So we look at Target. It's just the if not. It's no more simple than that. It's just the if not. And they're giving our strangers victory over us. Because why? The Lord's removed his supernatural hand of protection. That is the judgment of God. All right, boys, what do you think of that one? Anybody? Larry? Hang on.
Wow, how you hit the nail on the head. It's it's a spiritual thing that a lot of us have seen for literally decades. And that is that God's hand of protection, and I actually call it grace. I'm not one of these that think that grace is just everywhere. I think that grace is a certain little area. You exercise the faith that God gave you, He will lead and guide you through your life and giving you direction in your life, and you can come in to that area of grace. That area of grace is not forced on anyone.
Larry, that goes back to Psalm 1. Blessed is he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High abides under the shadow of the Almighty. It goes back to that exact same thing. And if you walk out from under that covering, then you walk out from under the blessings of the Almighty, right?
Bingo. And when you were reading in First Chronicles there, I don't know how many times I've read that. I've read through the whole Bible several, a dozen times or so. So, and that Chronicles I've probably read 100 times or more. But, I just realized in there, hey guys, if any of you have a quarter in your pocket or close by, if you look at that quarter, it's got a heads and it's got a tails, okay? And every time you flip it for a football game, you got a heads and a tails or whatever coin you use.
Yep.
Now, the same is true about, you said, the ifs and the if nots. God said in that, when you read it, he said, if you humble yourselves and move away and stop doing your wrong deeds and your dead works and all that, he says, if you do that, then I will hear you. If then. A computer guy knows the if-then statement.
If you
move away from your evil ways, then I will hear you. Now, the other side of that quarter is this. If you don't stop doing your evil ways, I don't hear you.
That's right. It's like this, guys. Sin is poison. It's poison. And the Lord would say, if you quit smoking, your body can be healed. If you continue to smoke, your body's not going to get well. It's an if and an if not. It's just the consequences of sin. And that's what we're seeing. I want to share this with – hang on. Go ahead, John. Go ahead.
You know, Coach, I've talked to so many people in the church over the years, and, they can't even comprehend, not for one moment, regardless of what they do, that they can't comprehend God not hearing them. There's lots of times in the Bible where it says God just will not hear us.
Right.
Because of our disobedience. But they just can't get their mind around that. They can't get their mind around that God would just say, hey, I'm not going to hear you.
Well, John, first of all, they're deluded into thinking they're good.
Oh, totally.
See, they think they're good people. So therefore, they don't think it applies to them because, I'm good. I go to church. And we don't see our own wickedness. That's part of the issue. So we're dealing with the constant. We're dealing with the if not. Right here in America, we're dealing with it. Raj, did you want to jump in?
Oh, just again, a heavy emphasis on consequence, on consequences. Not taught very much in the church.
No. And so where we are because where we are. Now, I want to share this with you before I forget. It's popped up in my spirit about three times here. I'm going to show you a video of our trip to Target yesterday. The most amazing thing happened to me. Those who watched the show yesterday, I don't know if you could sense the spirit on me, but the spirit was really on me to the point that I was almost weepy. Like, I didn't know why. I couldn't control it. And I talked about wiping the shame off the face of the Savior and all that. I went to Target yesterday fully planning to get arrested. I gave my wife bailout money. I had all I had on with it was my ID. I didn't take a wallet in it. I just carried my ID. I'd made arrangements for people to pick me up. I was planning on going to jail. And I had great peace when I got there. I wasn't going to go. No big deal. I was going to go to jail. I had already made that decision. I'm not afraid of jail. My daughter, she's 29. She went with me. She said, "Oh, Daddy, please don't get arrested." She was so nervous. She says, "You don't understand what it would be like to stand and watch your father get handcuffed." Daddy, please don't do that. But then I sort of, listen, Mag, sometimes you just got to do it. And, if the Lord tells me to, I'm going to do it. And I said, you know, I haven't done anything wrong. I've done something very, very good here. So, you know, you're just going to have to get used to it. And you know, the most amazing thing happened, and I'll show you some of the videos here in a second. Larry, I know that you'll be able to relate to this. JR, you understand. When I got there, and the attitude, I looked at this girl comes up to me, who's representing Target. She reminded me of my daughter. She was 26 or 27 years old, some young girl, just earning a living, just doing the best she can to provide to her customers, and trying to enforce corporate policy, which she clearly didn't agree with. And I see she's so, in fact, you'll see it in the video a couple of times. I say, hey, it's not your fault. It's not your fault. Because I saw the anguish inside of her, and I didn't want to cause that little young lady anguish. It wasn't her fault. It wasn't her fault. And then when the police show up, I'm telling you, fellas, they were just as anguished. They were just as anguished. They knew I was doing the right thing. They knew that law was bogus. They knew that it was. And they were almost begging me. That's not the right word, but you understand what I'm saying. They didn't want to arrest me. They told me Target doesn't want to arrest you. Please, coach, you got your message. We understand. And you know what came on me? An unbelievable spirit of mercy came on me. I was there to stand my ground and stick it in their face. We ain't putting up on it. And I realized that it was innocent people who had come to the scene who were not the ones that were responsible for this wicked policy. And the Lord had me walk away. After they threatened me and all that, this mercy spirit came on me. I looked at that little manager. She's shorter than me, and I'm short. She looked at, and I just saw my daughter, and she was so flummoxed. And I felt really, really bad that this whole issue was causing this in her. And the cops that came out, the exact same thing. So I don't want you to think that I went soft. I told him, I said, listen, I'll be back. I promise you I'll be back, and I'm bringing more people with me. But our target, sorry, is not that little girl working in there. Our target is Target. And we've got to figure out a way to bring pressure upon the corporation. But I know this. You know, the cop came out and told me that that little girl, she's a manager, went on and on about how nice I'd been to her. Isn't that something? Went on and on. And I know that in her heart, she doesn't agree with that policy. Her bosses are telling her to enforce that policy. And I could have just ground her into the concrete. I tell you this to tell you how amazing the Spirit of the Lord is, man. If you'll hear, and I was willing to go to jail, but I didn't want my pride and my ego to get involved and say, I went to jail. No, 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 man. There are a lot of people. Comment before I'm going to show you a video. I'm going to show you a video of that very thing. That, in fact, hey, Jared, let's change the video. I see the one that you got up. Let's go to the short one first of all, Jared, when this little manager comes up. Here's what happens. You're going to see this video. The first little manager comes up. She might be 23 years old. I mean, you'll hear the nervousness in her voice. And then she calls her boss. And here comes this other little girl who I'd spoken to the day before. So she knew that I'd spoken to her, and you'll see her reaction as well. Both of them trying to enforce a policy that they really didn't agree with. So let's just listen. Rather than watch, just listen to this dialogue that takes place. Go ahead, Jared. It's a great lesson for us, guys.
Hi.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Not have
what's your name?
I'm Aaron.
Hey, Aaron. My name is Dave Dobemeyer. My daughter's in the restroom. I'm just kind of...
She really was.
Because I was in yesterday, and they told us that a man could, in fact, walk in on her while she's in that restroom. And I don't think that... first of all, I don't even think that's legal for Target to have that rule, and I'm not gonna let my daughter be in danger. So I'm going to stand here and let people know. I noticed...
Watch how nervous she gets.
There's no warning on the restroom
Hey, Janet,
door.
Can I have you come up to the front, please?
There's no warning on the restroom door there's no warning that a man could walk in that restroom. There's no warning at all. And so I just feel that I have a moral obligation to warn women. That's what my sign says, that a woman could be in danger in the restroom if a man could walk in.
Unfortunately, we're going to have to ask you to not have that sign and
stand
here.
Okay.
Well, you'll have to leave the building.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah, I understand.
She asks us to leave and I won't.
Get authorities involved or...
Pardon me?
I said I can get authorities involved.
Yeah, I believe you're violating the law.
Isn't our store policy, this is something you talked to headquarters about?
Okay, I've talked to headquarters about it.
Okay.
And yesterday I was here as well, and they said that a man can walk in and use the restroom, a woman's restroom.
Can I have all of you put your cameras down? This is very...
See, she's trying to enforce government...
Yeah, that's your fault. It's not your fault.
It's awful. Shame on Target.
Your job.
Here comes the boss now.
It's my job to protect my daughter.
Who I met with yesterday.
Protect Gianna, can I have you up here right now, please?
She's okay. I spoke to Gianna yesterday.
Okay. She's going to ask
you
the same thing.
I know she is. I noticed again that everywhere I looked, what was your name again? I'm sorry. Aaron, everywhere I looked, there's no warning at all that a man could walk into a woman's restroom. And I think it's awful. And I understand that people want to use the restroom of their choice, but I don't think my daughter forfeits her right to privacy when she walks into a restroom in Target stores. And so I'm just trying to warn that there's a woman right there with two children. That they shouldn't unnecessarily have this happen to them. Hey, Jan, it's me. Talked to you yesterday.
Gotta go back.
Jan, I just want you to know that I escorted my daughter into the restroom.
Okay.
I escorted her in, and I came to because somebody can walk in on her.
Okay.
And so that's our concern. Okay. And we'll shut it off for a minute.
So there you are. In my opinion, it's despicable that Target has put these young girls in this position to have to. These little girls are the ones that are taking all the heat, not Target stores. The bosses at Target, they're not taking the heat. Oh, they will at some point. But all across America, these are the type of people that you're going to run into when you run into the Target stores. And I just firmly held my ground, didn't back down, and it was like I was scolding my own daughter when I was in teaching school. A couple of my students, they know better. Comments about that, guys?
Yeah, Dave.
Yeah.
I think the thing you want to keep in mind, too, is Target, I cannot believe that they willy-nilly made this decision, okay? I believe they probably pulled this whole issue. They look at the economics. I mean, there's no way they just said, we're going to do this overnight. It's impossible for me to believe that. Now, I may be wrong.
Right.
They made an economic decision that this would not hurt them.
They thought it would help.
I think you're right, that it brought attention, whatever. I think the only way we are going to get traction here is this: what you are doing in getting people to stop spending their money there. Because the corporate heads aren't on the street. And the only way you're going to get their attention, I believe, right now is the dollar that things start, like Kmart. You know, Kmart eventually died out because of some of their actions. That's what has to be done. So.
Well, which, by the way, get JR ready there. That's why we're going back tonight at 6 o'clock and taking some more people with me, not inside the store, but out on the street in front of it. In fact, we're going to lead a nationwide, I'm already working on it, a nationwide protest of Target. Guys, listen. This isn't about sex. This isn't about transgenders. This is about, again, removing all moral standards in our culture. This is an attack from the devil. Please see that. This is an attack on the by the devil and all things that are righteous. And because we are winning 98-2 on this issue, we can win this. We have to push forward with it. Go ahead, JR.
Thanks. I think we have the wrong, forgive me, target here. We in the state of Ohio and other states, they're passing these pastor protection acts. What you're seeing at Target is residue. It's a symptom of the church not being salt and light. Mm-hmm. If we go to Target tonight, we ought to go to apologize for the church not having done their job.
How do you do that, JR?
Well, maybe we ought to go to the church instead of Target.
Well, yeah. Well, certainly. Sir, you know, you read my Facebook page. Just read my Facebook page and see what people are saying. How America is longing for somebody, for a man to do something.
Yep.
America, people feel it in their hearts. I don't know why our pastors can't get it. Larry?
Yeah, it's Roger is absolutely right on the bottom line of the whole thing. Target, I am sure, made an economic decision
that I believe so.
The LGBT has such an economic impact in whatever arena they get their thumb in, that they figured the sympathy for the LGBT movement would just sweep the nation and bring people into the Target. I think they miscalculated, but I think that was their calculation.
Now, Trump effect again, Larry. It's a Trump effect again. I really believe it.
Yeah, all of those people that are not spending any – I haven't spent any money in Target for years because of the way they treated veterans issues many years ago. But – everybody that's not spending their money in Target, and I saw one post on Facebook that said 700,000 people have signed a pledge not to spend their money to Target. Well, Target, I guarantee you this also. You talked about the other day about people being in a delusion. Those decision makers at Target, unless those 700,000 people plus, I'm sure there's people that are not going to spend money that didn't sign that thing. I didn't sign it.
Yeah, that's right.
But the 700,000 that, you know, plus the ones that haven't signed it that aren't spending any money at Target, if they don't notify Target that they are doing this, that they are withdrawing their customer support for that store, then Target, when their revenues go down, they're going to start looking for the delusional answer to why their revenue is down, and they will never admit what the reason was.
Brother, you're right.
Those who are not spending their money there, send an email to Target and tell them, look, until you reverse this asinine decision, and excuse my strong language there, but it is an asinine decision. Until you reverse it, I will never spend another penny in Target. And that way they have no excuse. They can still hide behind their delusional lie that they have no excuse for it. They can't put up a false front.
I believe it's a deadening blow to them. I don't think they will ever recover, because I think a lot of people who signed it, now we've seen the heart of Target. I don't think they're ever going to go back. Now, something that I find interesting, I don't know how do I screen share here, fellas? Is there a way to do that?
Top corner.
This thing right here. So if I go this right here, and then I come back here, and I go to my screen share, you guys will all be able to see it. Is that right?
Double-click on your subject.
Oh, double-click on my subject.
Yeah.
Okay, because I want you to see this. Okay. Slow learner here. Hang on. That's not what I want you to see. Can you guys see that?
Not yet. You have to hit share and then go to that picture you want to show us.
Okay. Daggone, you think I know. Okay, so I'm going to go screen share and now go double-click on it.
On whatever you want us to see.
Can you see it?
Nope.
Okay, well, I'm just gonna read it to you. This is from OSHA. Okay? Here you go. Under the OSHA Act, employers are responsible for providing a safe and healthy workplace. OSHA's mission is to ensure safety on the workplace, yada 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 yada. Here's their code. You ready? Separate facilities must be available for each sex. Unless the toilet rooms, therefore, can be occupied by no more than one person, the door can be locked. Each water closet must be separate compartment, and each must have a door and must be separated from the next by partitions. You understand what they're saying, guys? It has to be a woman's restroom. There has to be stalls in it. The door has to be able to be locked. And if it doesn't have that, if it's just a single one, then the outside door must be able to be locked. This is separate facilities for each sex. This is their guidelines. Separate facilities for each sex is defined in context with an original intent of the authors of the OSHA Act of 1970 as determined by XY sex determination, which explicitly describes the origin of a male and female at the time of birth. The quote, the XY sex determination system is the sex determination system found in humans. The sex of an individual is determined by a pair of sex chromosomes. Females have two of the same kind, XX, and are called homozygotic Males have two distinct chromosomes, and they're called heterogametic. Unless the toilet rooms themselves can be occupied by no more than one person and can be locked from the inside, each toilet must be separate, and each room must be separate. So there is the law. There is the law. And once again, they are telling us something that is not true. I'm going to show in a second here, before we go there, I want to show the conference that I had briefly with the police officers. And I do this because, guys, listen, this is educational. I'm not showing this thing to be bragging. See what we did with the cops. I want you to see, number one, their attitude, and number two, how I didn't waver from our position. I think it's important. These guys were very kind, very respectful, and they did not want to enforce the law. They didn't want to. They didn't want to. They also are doing a job. They think it's the law. They think any man. Well, you're gonna hear this. This is 8 minutes long, but we probably won't show all 8 minutes of it. And again, if I could get Jeff to turn the camera the other way, you could have a better picture of it. So we have two officers and the chief of police shows up. This is after they came. They arrived. I took my sign. I stood in front of the bathroom for 30 minutes. I went outside. I was outside about 5 minutes. The cops showed up, and they went inside, and they were inside for 30 minutes. You know what they were doing inside for 30 minutes with the target people? Trying to figure out, what are we going to do here? What are we going to do? We can't – what are we going to do? Because target couldn't support it. The cops couldn't support it. What are we going to do? And so now they come out after 30 minutes and watch this back and forth and how we handled it as a learning experience. Go ahead, Jared.
What's your name?
Brad Fisher.
Hey, Brad.
Hey, Darren.
Hey, Dave. Good to meet you.
Dave Dottmer.
Hey, Jim.
First off, I'm interested in why you guys are here. You're protesting the policy that the historic policy that Target has.
I believe it's in violation of the law, though. I don't think you can just walk, a man can walk into a woman's restroom.
Well, that is their policy. We're not here to determine what their policy is.
Safe.
I agree, but I believe it's a violation of the law. There's okay. No warning anywhere. My daughter went into the restroom. There's okay. No warning on the outside of the door. There's no warning anywhere. Warning someone.
Mr. Dottmeyer, let's step out away from the front doors at least. Okay. If you guys aren't here protesting, obviously, and you're on Target property,
right?
You can't prevent the entrance or exit.
Oh, I'm not trying. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to block
so anybody.
I'm trying to follow the law.
I understand. And that's more of a violation of more of the safety code for the fire department. So at this point, they do want you guys to leave the property.
Okay.
And that's the reason why we're here.
Okay.
So I'm going to ask you guys if you can leave the property.
Sure. If you guys answer a couple questions with me, because they wouldn't answer me.
Okay. Then I'll try to answer them for you.
In the state of Ohio, can a man walk? Should I go down to Bob Evans and walk in the restaurant?
Free to move throughout the state as you wish.
Into a woman's restroom?
As long as you're not creating any type of violent or...
So you're telling me behavior. I can walk in...
He don't even believe it.
I walked into the women's restroom down at Bob Evans. They wouldn't pitch a fit.
They might pitch a fit.
I can't say what
they might ask
do.
You to leave.
They might ask you to leave. They
right.
Might ask.
But it's not a violation. There's not a law that I'm aware of that's going to walk into...
Crazy, it. Isn't it?
Crazy world, then, isn't it? I mean, that's a crazy world.
Right.
Oh, that's not personal opinion. I guess that is a personal opinion.
Yeah.
But I believe it's more than that. Since the foundation of America, men and women. And someone, I was in here yesterday, fellas, and I talked to the manager. She was very nice to me. And she said that a man can walk into that restroom simply by saying that he's a woman. Now, I believe that's absolutely ridiculous. I believe it's in violation of all decency laws. I believe it's in violation of privacy rights. My wife, who might want to go in, my daughter, who did go into the bathroom, that she would be in there going to the bathroom, and someone come in and violate what I think would be just a normal right.
Look at their body language.
To go to the restroom without being hassled by a man. Now, I don't know if there's a law in Ohio on that now. Maybe that's what we need. That's what we need to find out.
Well, that's something that you would have to speak with one of your representatives or legislators.
Okay.
Okay, Jared, that's enough. Guys, you can watch it online. It's up there for everybody to see. I noticed a couple different things. Number one, their body language. Now, I've been out on the street, and I'm going to tell you something. When a cop walks up to you, he doesn't have his head down like a puppy, being real nice, asking you to leave. He walks up to you and says, sir, off the property. Off the property, you're trespassing. And you saw that was not the approach that they took. They came up like almost conciliatory, right? That was number one. The second thing I noticed is they don't even know the law. They don't even know the law. Because the law is very clear, isn't it, fellas? The law is very clear that there are decency, public decency laws. We just read OSHA. See, these guys have also been convinced by the courts that this is legal, and it's clearly not legal. Now, I didn't get a chance to go a little bit farther because the chief of police is standing right there as well. And when the camera went off, he told me that they're receiving all type of pressure from the feds to try to make this a law all across the land. That's why these guys are flummoxed. See, Target didn't want us arrested because they didn't want the publicity. And the police didn't want to arrest us because they knew they were going to be in trouble if they did. That's really the dynamic that we saw play out right there. Now, I could have pressed it and been arrested, but we'll save that arrest for another day. And I think we handled it. I think we handled it properly. Comments, questions, anything about what we just watched?
Coach, I just want to share a real quick thing that happened to me yesterday sitting here at my desk. I was working on Rancher Lives Matter stuff, and I had Facebook open in the background. In other words, I had documents in front of Facebook that I was working on, but Facebook was one of my programs that was open. And while I'm working on a document, one of the scenes from that clip of when you were talking to the young lady inside the store flashed onto my screen, overlapping the document I was working on, and I wasn't connected anywhere to anything that said salt, you know, past the salt or Dave Davemeyer or coach. It just came a visual on my screen of about a half a second of that clip. And I've had what I call visions from the Lord before. That's understanding coming into my mind, and my mind makes a picture in my mind of what I'm seeing for, you know, direction of what I should be doing and stuff like that. I've had that happen in my life before, not often, and not an everyday thing, but it has happened. But this is the very first time I have actually seen on another physical object the picture of what was
amazing. It's amazing. Anybody, Rod, you're the attorney. What's your reaction there, counselor?
Well, I'm still not convinced of what law is being broken inside of Target, Dave. I guess I am. But, you know, something's not right. This is not right. 1,800 years of bathroom policy is not right. Protecting the innocent is not right. You know, is right. So something's not right. I don't know if there's a law being broken or not. I think what would be interesting is also, is the idea of, these police don't want to do this. And police selectively enforce laws all the time. And it'd be interesting just on tape to say that and give examples and then say, would you allow me to remain here and just not prosecute this issue? Because that happens all the time. And the only other thing I've been thinking about is we ought to go into Target and say, my wife is here. She'd like to have a private bathroom. Where can she go? Mm. Where will you take care of us, the consumer who doesn't want all this stuff? We want a private bathroom.
So, guys, listen, this is critical, what Roger is saying right here. This is a solution. See, they just make the bathrooms private. You don't have to change any laws. We don't have to grant any more special rights to the sexual deviants. Bathrooms are private. When you walk in the bathroom, you lock the door. Nobody else can enter it. It takes care of the entire issue. But that's why we understand that's not what they want. They want the destruction of all moral law. And unless we see this for what it is, we're going to get caught in the weeds. They've drug us into the weeds and about feeling comfortable and my right to just do this and my right to do this. That isn't what it's about. Their goal is to eliminate all sexual references, all sexual, what's the word I'm looking for? Any sexual differences, they don't want it. They want an asexual culture. And they are going to get to our legislators first. That's what's happening. I promise you, they're doing it right now.
Yeah, Dave, Roger just said he doesn't know which law was broken, but I'm not a lawyer, but I am a parliamentarian, a registered parliamentarian, and I know the structure of law. That's part of our training. And when Congress passed the law authorizing OSHA, that law was full of statements, and the secretary shall have the right to develop and publish these regulations concerning this matter, or words to that effect. It was in there dozens and dozens, if not hundreds of times. Almost every aspect of the OSHA law gave the secretary, whoever the president appointed as secretary of OSHA or the lead head guy in OSHA, had the responsibility and the authority to make the rules and regulations for OSHA. Now, I think this is an abrogation of the constitutional duties of Congress to be the sole ones, the only ones that can pass laws.
Larry? Yes. Let me jump in real quick. See, that there's what you do. You say, officer, do you not have a duty to report an OSHA violation? Are you going to do that? Ask them. Say, they are clearly violating the laws of OSHA in the state of Ohio. Are you going to make a similar report to them today of the violation so that OSHA can inquire as to their facilities? I agree with you. Those laws are being broken. We ought to have them on video.
Roger, correct me if I'm wrong, but it doesn't take a police officer to make that report.
No, that's why they couldn't arrest me. They
can't
arrest me.
A citizen go in who has cause for action. In other words, a daughter who wants to go to the bathroom is cause for action in this case. Can a citizen go to the police, or not the police so much, but the prosecutor, the solicitor for the county, and say, I want to register a violation of OSHA regulations that has put my daughter, my wife, my grandchildren in danger, and then file an official OSHA violation complaint against the target?
That's good advice, Larry. This is all just so good. I lost my point, Roger. I couldn't wait to get it out. I lost my point.
I was talking about a violation of law, private bathrooms for my wife if she wants to come in and she doesn't want to do the bathroom stuff.
Yeah, I know what we're. It'll come to me because we have to listen. Here's what it was. It would have been just as easy for this police officer to say, you know what? We don't know what the law is. So therefore, no perverts in the restroom. We don't know what the law is. No perverts. Until they tell me that it's the law of the land, no perverts. But the law always takes the other side. Always do. And why do they always take the other side? Because they know we're not going to complain. And the homos are. So they're scared to death of the homosexual mafia and what they're going to do. So I want to raise up a Christian mafia. Hate to use that term. I want to raise up a Christian standard to let the police now. I'm going to go visit with the police chief today, by the way. And I'm going to make that exact same point to him. That you could just as easily, sir, said, we don't know the law, so therefore, no men in restrooms here in Target. He could have just as easily have done that. It's his jurisdiction. He could have done that. But his idea was to go the other way. Then somebody told me this last night. Boy, we're running short on time. I'm sorry. Guy said last night, it's like this. You live in a town and a window gets busted in one of the houses. And you call the police, and the police come by, and they say, oh, yeah, daggone, that's awful. They broke that window. They shouldn't be able to be able to break windows, and we'll keep an eye on it. Repair your window. The next day, they get another call. Another window's broken in the neighborhood. And they come by and they pull the same thing off. How long does it take before every daggone window in the neighborhood's busted? That's where we are. So we let them break a window, and we say, oh, well. And we let them break another window and say, oh, well. And let them break another window. Next thing we know, we don't have any windows left in our town. That's what – they're breaking windows, guys. They're breaking windows. And we're not demanding that the police do their job and get them to quit breaking windows. So that that's my approach. And as we wind down here today, I would encourage everybody listening today, we can win this battle. If we don't stand up now and fight, we're going to lose. I promise you we will lose. We already know. The cops don't even know what the law is. They're just going to enforce whatever they think it is. We can win this battle. But you've got to go to Target. You got to call the manager. You got to go to Target and film it. Just film your conversation with the Target employee. Ask them about the restrooms. Don't give them a hard time. Just film it and post it. We have to show up. We're going to all go 6 o'clock tonight back to this Target in Heath, and we're going to stand outside of it and notify the community what's going on. That's why I want to meet with the chief of police in Heath to say, listen, pal, here's your chance to be a hero. Because, listen, I'm going to bring national attention to this store right here. I'm going to bring national attention. It's going to end up in your lap, and you have a right to do the same thing. Say, you know what? We don't know what the law is, but our community standards say no women, no men in women's restrooms. That's the approach that we have to do. And if we continue to do that, we will turn them back. This will be a great victory for Christians. Comments. We got just a few minutes left here.
Tell him we want to have room to protest like the Black Lives Matter. That he needs to back away and give us room to protest.
They wouldn't. I'm convinced they wouldn't have moved me yesterday. Listen, guys, I've done this a lot of times. These guys show up with billy clubs and you're off the property. You understand?
Dave, what's the OSHA address for that regulation you read to us?
Let me hang on here a second.
Not the URL address, but the paragraph and code of which code and all.
It is. I knew you were going to ask me that. Hang on. I got it off of Small Business Chronicles, Larry. Maybe I'll just rather than burrow. I'll try to shoot it to you.
Okay. Yeah, I'll be able to figure it out. You know, we've been talking about. I've been a teacher over my time in my lifetime. I was an instructor at an Army service school. You know, for a whole MOS, teaching young men how to do this job in the Army. I actually wrote the entire program for that particular service school. I've been a teacher, and I kind of have tendencies to do teacher things. And I won't, you know, we've been talking about the law today, and we've talked in the past about how easy it is to believe something that's not true in the Bible.
Amen.
I've got a homework assignment for you. I'm not going to be here Thursday and Friday because I'm going to be on the road and busy in Washington, D.C. and stuff away from a computer. But I've got a homework assignment for you guys who choose to take it. And I want you to go to Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 28. And I want you to read what it has to say, and then I want you to realize this, and you're going to think I'm crazy when I say this, but I want you to realize this. Now listen carefully. The Ten Commandments that man has labeled the Ten Commandments are not what God calls the Ten Commandments. Exodus 34:28.
Exodus.
The Ten Commandments are listed there. They're not broken down real clearly because, you know, they weren't done in verses and all that when Moses wrote them.
They weren't written on a rock.
That's right. But let me tell you what. The Ten Commandments that man idolizes as the Ten Commandments are not, they are 10 of the commandments of God, but they are not the Ten Commandments. God has the Ten Commandments. And you can start in Deuteronomy 34:28 and go forward from there and see what I'm talking about. But most people think I'm just a crazy guy when I say that. And even when they read it themselves, they refuse to believe it. You mentioned something like that earlier in this program.
Amen. Amen. Hey, guys, listen, we're winding down. Listen, guys, we got to do something. We just can't come on here and talk. We've got to, in our local communities, we have to begin to push back against this stuff. I'm telling you. They are so on the rocks. They are teetering. I'm telling you, they're teetering. And if we push right now, we can have a huge, huge impact. And if we don't, if we don't push right now, they are currently working behind the scenes to get this codified into law all across America. We're going to do it at 6 o'clock tonight at the Target store. If you're close, Target store here in Heath, we're going to have people out there holding signs. My buddy Wiley Drake came up with a really good sign. You know what it said? Simple. Dangerous restrooms. That's the sign he held. Dangerous restrooms. So we got some work in front of us. thanks. Thanks for being there. Thanks for caring. And let's take this opportunity to make a difference right where we are. Let's make a difference against this homosexual beast that's trying to destroy all things righteous. God bless you, folks. We'll see you tomorrow.